1973 started as a landmark year for President Richard Nixon. But when the Watergate scandal broke wide open soon after the start of his second term, the optimism would fade. Among the revelations of Watergate, that Richard Nixon had secret voice-activated recordings made inside the White House and Camp David. In 2013, about 3,000 hours of those tapes were released. They've been edited into two volumes by historians Douglas Brinkley and Luke Nichter. Jeremy Hobson talked with them about Volume 1 last summer. Volume 2, The Nixon Tapes, 1973, comes out today. Co-editor Douglas Brinkley joins us now. Douglas, welcome back to Here and Now.
Well, thank you for having me.
So put this into context for us. It was 1973. Nixon had just been sworn into his second term in office after a landslide election. The Vietnam War had just ended, and yet there were problems ahead.
Well, if you cut to December of 1972, Richard Nixon's head was filled with hubris. Part of the tape, he has sort of his feet up on the Oval Office desk talking to people about people. Someday people will write books called 1972 about my greatness. But at the end there in December of 72, Harry Truman died. January, Lyndon Johnson died in early 73. And suddenly Watergate explodes on Richard Nixon. And most of the tapes we have of 73 really are about Nixon no longer tangled in Vietnam most of the time, but just worried about how to survive Watergate.
Well, let's listen to an exchange between Nixon and his White House counsel, John Dean, of course, a huge player in the Watergate scandal. This was March of 1973. Dean is telling Nixon that there is not a shred of evidence, nothing connecting the White House to the Watergate burglars.
There was not a scintilla of evidence in the investigation that led anywhere to the White House. There's nothing in the FBI file that indicates anybody in the White House involved. Nothing in what was presented before the grand jury indicating White House involvement.
How pivotal was that conversation with the president?
Well, it's a very pivotal moment. And one of the things that's developed from our book is that Nixon knew about something known as the Houston Plan. This was really a collaborative effort of the CIA, FBI, and NSA to go after rogue anti-American groups from the intelligence apparatus's point of view, meaning there was a secret plan to kind of disrupt radicals around the country. And Nixon starts covering up Watergate and the problems with it because it may have been part of a larger disruption of government surveillance of radical anti-war groups and far left groups.
Well, let's listen to some more tape that has to do with this, the Houston Plan. This tape does not include Richard Nixon. It's a phone conversation between Robert Marty and a former assistant attorney general under John Mitchell and Fred Buzhardt. He's the special counsel for Watergate in May of 1973.
There were some documents that were released by the court today.
Yeah.
Which consisted of a certain domestic intelligence plan.
A what?
A certain domestic intelligence plan that dated the summer of 1970. You reading me?
Yeah.
Okay. Now, this was handled here by a fellow named Houston until about August of 70, at which time Dean came aboard and took over the responsibility.
So, Douglas Brinkley, we think of domestic surveillance as more of a modern issue. Clearly here, it was an issue in this time as well. What connections can be drawn between, Edward Snowden, an NSA of today, and the Houston Plan here?
Well, thanks to Edward Snowden, we know more about the NSA abuses of power today than we actually do in the Nixon era. I mean, the Houston Plan and all related correspondence remain classified as top secret. So, we only have hints of it that come out here in the tapes. So one of the great breakthroughs of a modern political history will be when that document gets declassified. But at this moment, it is not. So you only get these bits and pieces that start pointing to the worry that the White House has about this being made public knowledge. After all, the New York Times had found out about the Pentagon plan and published it. So the thought that the whole Houston plan could unravel and it would show that the White House had been spying on American citizens, I think, was a concern of the Nixon White House.
Fascinating that it would have been perhaps more of a concern for the president than Watergate itself.
Absolutely, because in the end, it also, though, guarantees Nixon's pardon by Gerald Ford, because you weren't going to be able to have a show trial of Richard Nixon and start having all this declassified information brought to the public eye. Hence, in an odd twist of fate, the Houston plan became almost an inoculation that Nixon had of not having to endure a prolonged court trial or prison time.
Well, as 1973 advances, the pressure on Richard Nixon increases. Let's hear a little bit more. This is between Chief of Staff Alexander Haig following a wildly popular dinner party at the White House. Prisoners of war had just been released, and Haig is jubilant, but Nixon is too caught up in the Watergate turmoil to enjoy himself. Let's listen to this.
Coming right down to it, Al, when you look at it, you know, and all this crap we're taking, and the Congress being Democratic, and the Republicans being weak, and all the rest, wouldn't it really be better for the country, you know, to just check out? And no, seriously, I mean that. And because I'm not at my best.
This is President Nixon hinting at his resignation a year before he'll actually do it. This kind of tells you what? That this was a very difficult, trying time for the president for a long time.
Absolutely. And, you know, we didn't have knowledge, public knowledge of the White House taping system until July 16 of 1973, when Alexander Butterfield gave testimony to the Senate Select Committee on Presidential Campaign Activities. But Nixon can feel the shoe's going to drop on him. And you're hearing him, maybe it's better to resign and just step out instead of having to endure what will become the prolonged, you know, Watergate public trial of Richard Nixon. Hence, he does not resign, as we all know, at that moment. But I think Nixon, from what you just played, is starting to see the writings on the wall. He's going to have to leave the White House sooner than later.
Douglas Brinkley, your book is a tome. I'm looking at it right now. I'm flipping through it. It's more than 700 pages long. And yet there are still 700 hours of tape that we have not heard yet. What else do we have to learn?
Some of those are personal because Pat Nixon's involved or children. And so the Nixon family life, if you'd like, and I doubt we'll ever get those. But there's some other hours that we're hoping to get released because they've been sealed for security reasons. And scholars now are really looking at the Nixon era in earnest. There have been a number of wonderful books. Irvin Gelman has just done a book on Nixon, and Evan Thomas and Tim Weiner and others. And so it's a very fertile field, Nixon studies right now, and getting those remaining hours released and the Houston report released would be very useful to scholars of this period.
Do you think that tape will shed any light on these questions that we still don't have answers to, which is amazing now, more than 40 years on? Who ordered the Watergate break-in, and why?
Well, that is you just asked the gold question, you know, and that's, we still, all these years later, it's really an unsolved mystery. We don't know who ordered the break-in. We don't really know what the burglars were looking for. Why did we have so many FBI and CIA people with backgrounds in those areas involved with all of this? Ideally in the coming years, when these other tapes and records that are currently restricted from, you know, public access, hopefully they'll be made available and we'll be able to get a little clearer picture. But I promise you, this book on Nixon and the 73 tapes moves the marker forward one giant notch, because we're able to start understanding how seminal this Houston plan is to everything that we consider Watergate.
Hmm. Douglas Brinkley, you follow presidents. That's your job. You're a presidential historian. Put this into some perspective for us. How does it resonate today, especially as we are going through an upcoming presidential election?
Well, Richard Nixon's very much in the air these days. I mean, Donald Trump has adopted his slogan of the silent majority as his own. In fact, recently a 1987 letter has been made public in which Nixon wrote Donald Trump that if he ever runs for office, he probably could win, a kind of fan letter. And of course, Hillary Clinton is being accused by Republicans as being Nixonian because she has her email scandal, which is some ways the right is trying to make comparable to the Watergate tapes. It isn't. But it just tells you that Nixon has really kind of carved a large role in the national psyche. Often it represents a darker side of American politics, but the Nixon tapes now have become a sort of a seminal grist for thinking about covert activity and his Edward Snowden and what does the NSA really do in surveillance and Fourth Amendment rights. Watergate's become a catch-all phrase for government not functioning on behalf of the people.
Hmm. Douglas Brinkley is the co-editor of the Nixon Tapes, 1973, adding new insight to a complicated man, a complicated time in history. Thanks very much.
Thank you. Appreciate it.